In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the seventh episode of Tender Loving Care? With your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Each week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believed for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that were on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 shows that we will be studying. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Pauline.
It's going to be a good one. I mean, everyone's a good one, but we have a little pep in our step. We're ready to go. We got two decent ones. I feel like the past couple of weeks have been on and off. You know, there's been some great weeks, stuff we were super excited for.
Yeah.
This one's been nice. And these were two shows, I don't know about you, I hadn't watched either of them.
Neither had I. And lots of different characters on these shows. I really had a fun time.
I'm so glad because I love getting two freshies in, you know, that we don't know anything about. And that means that you can do more of a deep dive into starcasm.net, you know, soapdish.com or whatever it is. I don't know if any of them are .com.
Today I have my sources are Screen Rant. I have In Touch Weekly.
That's quite fancy going into In Touch. I mean,
the best for these shows. Yeah.
I have not asked, do you have a little drinky or what's the situ today?
The situ is sad. I just finished my iced coffee that I've been nursing all day.
Okay.
I have tap water, sad.
Oh, okay.
And watermelon fizzy water. Still no alcohol in the house.
Okay. I know. We need to sort this situation. I mean, I decided to class it up a little bit and I made myself a mezcal margarita. I know.
Pauline.
I know.
I love those.
Really, I know. It's really nice. But the thing is, a bit of a heavy pour on the mezcal. So we'll see how this episode
goes.
All right. So let's head straight into, if you want to start with our first show, Katie Kate.
Yes. Let's get into it. Okay. The first show that we are covering today is called Love in Paradise, the Caribbean / Caribbean.
Thank you.
All right. Here's the way that TLC describes the show. Whisked away to Jamaica, Panama, Costa Rica, and Barbados, four Americans are trying to salvage relationships with their holiday flings. Relationships in various phases, including a fling that turned serious, a romance that turned into a pregnancy, and Americans hopeful their romance with their local islander works out. The four couples are hopeful their relationships will continue, yet nearly every relationship seems doomed to fail due to the miles and drama between them.
Jeez, TLC. I mean, you know,
savage.
Could have gone easy with us on that. First of all, you give away like a lot of the twists and turns and then tell them, well, they're not going to work anyway.
They do.
Jeez. Okay. I mean, I have a lot to say about this one, Kate. Now, I watched the... So first of all, this is one of the newer shows. Like, sometimes we get, you know, when we spin the Wheel of Shame, we get these ones that were made, like, 15 years ago and stuff. This was new. This was, like, pre-COVID. It was 2019?
This was, like, last year. Early last year.
Oh, shit. Okay. So it is really new. They only have one season out, and that's the one that Kate and I watched.
Yes.
I was very unclear whether it was part of the 90-day realm.
Yes, it is. It's under the 90-day umbrella. It's the newest installment that they have created.
Got it. I mean, we already have on the Wheel of Shame. I'm warning you and I'm warning the listeners. For 90 Day, we have about, I would say, about 11 different shows that may pop up. Oh, my God. There's a lot. So as soon as I started watching it, you have the same kind of shots or the same, you know, couple profiles as 90 Day Fiancé. So my first note that I wrote watching this, Love in Paradise the Caribbean, was why have we been sleeping on this? I thought, where has this been? How did I not know about it? Obviously, 90 Day is their biggest success story, maybe 600. I mean, they have a lot. It's TLC. They have a lot. But I was like, that was the first thing I wrote. Why have we been sleeping on this? How did I not know about it?
I am on the internet all the time and I haven't heard anyone talk about this show.
Now, but as we go on, I kind of understand why. Okay, so I got all excited at the beginning. I'm like, this is perfect. It starts off with, so we can just recap. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. So we have four couples, as it said in this synopsis. There is in Jamaica, we have Ariana and Sherlon. In Costa Rica, we have Amber and Daniel. In Barbados, we have Stephen and Martine. And then in Panama, we have Key and Mark. So we'll go through all of them. First thing we see, I just wrote, we're straight in. TLC isn't pulling any punches. They know the formula. You know, they've been doing 90 Day for a long time. They know what the viewers want to see. Let's get to crying. Let's get to trauma. Let's get to disaster. And we start with Ariana. And they really didn't go easy on us. They went in straight away. Ariana's 25 years old, and she was straight away in the mirror talking about how she had been overweight her entire life and then decided to lose weight. She went to Jamaica with her sister. And of course, I mean, I say fall in love, but I use that term very loosely. But she met Sherlon. And so you see her in the mirror and she's putting makeup on and stuff like that. And then they start having these like stock footage of people running on the beach in Jamaica. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
I didn't. That's where it kind of lost me. I was like, hang on, is this 90 Day? Because, I mean, 90 Day doesn't really do. It looked like it was actors or... It was really weird how they slotted that in.
There were a lot of setting the scene shots.
Yes,
because they're telling the story of how they all met, and so they would do these shots of random people dancing in a club to kind of show you this is the environment they were in. You know,
yeah, and it just had a weird tone to it that wasn't the 90 Day tone. So I was like, oh, okay, well, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And then she talks about meeting Sherlon, and then straight away, this is within 5 minutes, she's like, and I got pregnant. And you're like, ooh.
Is it okay. Just me? She kind of made it sound like she wasn't going to go through with the pregnancy.
Yeah, there were. Okay, so you're so right, because she starts talking to camera, and like, this is in the first 5 minutes, and she's saying, I found out I was pregnant. I just started crying straight away and was like, I didn't want this. I didn't plan this.
It's not the right time.
Or she'd lost all this weight. She'd made herself. And she's young. She's what, 25? 20, what did I say? 25, yeah. So already you're like, okay, that was a lot to take in. Then TLC doesn't stop, Kate. Goes in again with Sherlon. Where does Sherlon work, Kate?
Well, he works for his dad, the boat company, right? It's like a tourism and then, boat.
Yeah. And he also works at a swingers resort. So then TLC doesn't back down. Straight away, they show... This is where it lost. They show nips. Like two women topless on... chairs by the pool.
Oh,
and I'm like, hey, yeah. Is this TLC? I got really confused. So, Kate, was this show like a web show, or was this actually on TLC?
I'm actually so confused.
But they're showing like these women topless at the pool, and you see their nips out, and I'm like, and they're. I was really confused with that.
Oh, when where I was watching it, it was blurred out. They actually showed nipples.
Yeah. Oh. And they said fuck every other word as well.
Oh, okay. You got the uncensored version.
How funny. I just watched it on wherever we usually watch it. Yeah, but that's why I couldn't make head nor tails of, is this an actual show that was on TLC, or was this like some weird spin-off web thing where they could swear and show nudity? Because it goes, he's working at a swingers resort, and then this dirty TLC cameraman was like hiding behind the bushes and just taking this footage of these two girls topless, and you saw nips, you saw everything.
Wow,
that's so... I didn't imagine it. It definitely happened. I did see it.
So you were on Discovery Plus?
Yeah,
I was on TLC Go. I don't know.
You know what? It's probably because they knew I was English. That's why. And they just went, you know what? Everyone in the continent of Europe is naked most of the time anyway. So she'll be fine with that.
She can handle
That's what it was.
Yeah, they knew.
So we find this out straight away. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, so I got confused about seeing the nudity. And you're 5 minutes in and that's what you've already found out. She's crying. She's pregnant. She's miserable. And he works at a swingers resort, and they've got him on his interview going, well, I mean, we're not supposed to, you know, fraternize with the guests, but I do, and I do it often.
He makes it very clear that he hooks up with tourists all the time.
And she's, I mean, I immediately felt for her, and she lives, I can't remember whereabouts she lives. She's at the Midwest.
Quincy, Illinois, which our good friend is from right there.
Oh, really?
Shout outs to Lanny. Yeah.
Oh, no way, Lanny.
She's from that area. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Okay, good. I'm glad she can be involved in our swingers talk. Thank you, Lanny. We just see her and her mother Karen comes in, and they kind of set the scene of they're gonna go to Jamaica with her mum and her two sisters to visit this guy. And they've known each other less than a year. And I think she went like once or twice to Jamaica and that was it. And then got pregnant. It's really rough. And he's 10 years older than her.
No, she got pregnant. She got pregnant the first time she met him. And she only had two. She met him when she had 3 days left of her vacation. They had sex the whole rest of her vacay. She got pregnant in those 2 days and then went home.
Oh my god, I thought she actually
first time she met him. Yeah.
Oh no. And you see him and you just know already. Like this is just I'm going to compare this a lot to our 90 day because it is under the umbrella so we can. But I came in and I thought, as I said, why have we been sleeping on this? Because I'm like, this is a good one. Okay, we've got all this drama at the beginning. This is going to be good. It reminded me a lot of 90 Days. Like, what's the 90 Days one with Asulu and...
Asuelu.
Yeah. That's kind of the exact same thing, right? She went there and got pregnant. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. And then you've got the family involved, the mother and the two sisters. So we see that to start off with. And then we go, Kate, to... Who's next? Is it Amber and Daniel next in Costa Rica?
Yes.
Yeah, this one I thought had a lot of potential as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Amber's 30, Daniel's
23.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that I could ever be told anything when I was in bad relationships and people tell you this is not going to work and you fight back. But Amber, guess what? This isn't going to work. He's 23 years old, doesn't work, doesn't have a job, and you pay all of his bills.
She's going to play mommy their entire time together.
It was just like, we already know what's happening. Like, we've seen this on 90 Day. So this girl, Amber, she's quite a manic energy to her. I think she's, because she essentially, I don't know if you felt this, I feel like it was a woman that knew this was completely wrong. Her gut was saying to her, this is completely wrong, but she kept on in this relationship. So she's like, I felt like you watch her on screen battling herself the entire time. She knows this is ridiculous, it's never going to work, but no, I'm going to do it anyway. And it was just like back and forth.
She wants to finish what she started. She's very type A, straight edge, and she wants to see it through and make it work. And it's not so much a passionate union, it doesn't seem to me, anymore. Not anymore.
That's true, because she was saying she's like a perfectionist. Everything has to be perfect. And you see her like video chatting with him and you get the, oh, my phone's broken, can you buy me a phone when you come over? And she's already like spinning out, because I feel like she just knew the answers to all of her questions and she's just not gonna do anything. She's like, have you got a job? Have you looked at the papers? And she's got all of this stuff for the K-1 paper. For the fiance visa, and he's like, no, haven't looked at any of it. And I'm like, fuck.
Well, yeah, so she's 30, working hard at her job, trying to make this all happen. He's 23, living in Jaco, Costa Rica. I've been there. It's a surfer's town. It's a party town.
Fun.
You know, he's hanging out, having a good time, and he's so young. It's a complete mismatch of priorities.
It's just plain as day. What I did get from this, and we'll talk, obviously at the end we do our rating and what we learned, but I did get from all of this that I don't know why any of us aren't living on an island, because everyone is having the best life. Sure, some of them are deeply impoverished, but I mean, there are people, they're just on this beach, they're just having sex with a ton of tourists, they are living the life, Kate.
Oh, this definitely made me want to move to Boca del Toro, yeah.
So what I thought is what we could do is when we have our first international tender loving care podcast meetup, we should go to one of these islands. So all of you listeners can come along. We'll stay in one of these resorts. We'll make sure you have sex with someone that works there. And it'll be great. We'll have our own TLC show by the end of it. It'll be amazing.
That's such a Pauline idea. Just fabulous and fun. Yeah,
and
I'm in.
And it will happen.
I'm in.
Good. So, yeah, we kind of saw that. So Amber's going, she's about to head over to Costa Rica to meet him again, to get the K-1 papers, to bring him back to America. There's a lot of this as well that I think is maybe these people go on this show like Amber, no, it's not going to work, but she's like, I can get a second season. If I bring him to America, I can get a second season. So maybe that's, I don't know, it was just rough looking at her. She's like, I have to pay all his bills. He doesn't work, but now he's got a job. And then, of course, you cut to Daniel's interview. I haven't been exactly honest with her. You're like,
here we go.
So at this point, I'm watching it and I'm going, yeah, this is still good. This is still 90 Day worthy. Why isn't this huge? Like, what's going on here? We then move on to Barbados and we have Stephen, who's 33, and Martin, who is 26. They've been together for 3 years, and Martin lives in Miami and she's a party girl. And they set it up as Stephen being a bad guy. Like, he has cheated on her, and this was at the beginning of the relationship. He has a kid from a previous 8-year relationship, and he's like, my relationship with Martine is just an escape from reality. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, she's on a boat in Miami going, I'm gonna get married. So, as a viewer, you're thinking, I don't think you are, love. I really don't think you are. I can tell you right now. And she's just, you know, she just, they kind of emphasize a lot that they party and they have great sex and they just drink a lot. And it's been going on for 3 years. And she's like, I'm going back to Barbados. I'm going to get an answer. I'm going to figure out what's going on here. And Stephen's just like, I have a great life here. Like, I do whatever I want. And he was the DJ, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. And a party promoter, club promoter.
Well, I just want to say, if there's anyone listening that meets a guy, whatever nationality, wherever they're from, and he says to you, I'm a club promoter. First of all, he doesn't have a job. I just want that to be clear. He doesn't have a job. And you should run for the hills. When I hear club promoter, all I think of is early 2000s LA, guys with like spiked up hair, and like Affliction t-shirts, handing out flyers and trying to get hot girls into clubs. Like,
ladies drink for free before 8.
Yeah. Slimy. Yeah, that's exactly what I think of. So he kind of has a job because he's a DJ. Then we get to this was interesting. Then we see this like woman on the beach aggressively working out, doing burpees and all this stuff, and her body is like tight,
banging
tight. And her name is Key, K-E-Y, right?
They pronounce it K.
K, okay.
Yeah.
And she was originally from Argentina, but we're meeting her in Panama. And this story struck me because I think she's 36 and he's 39, Mark. So she's a personal trainer, like, no shit, you should see her. And she had met Mark, who's from Huntington Beach in California near L.A., when he was actually living in Panama, and he owned a hostel. That's what it was. He owned a hostel, and she came and stayed there, and they like fell madly in love, hanging out and having a good time. And that was over 10 years ago. And then he went back to America. No. She went back to Argentina because she was just visiting Panama. She went back to Argentina, where she's from, called him one night and was like, you need to come and help me because I'm in rehab because I've had a ketamine addiction for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And he had no idea.
Right.
And she was like, she says, I used it constantly. I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just go to the bathroom and get into a K-hole. Like, just, it was crazy. And he had no idea. So he left Panama and he left that hostel that he owned and went down to Argentina and then helped her through it all. She said he was the only person there when I was going through this kind of dark time. And then the reason that they split up is she moved in with her parents and he went along. And he says, but, you know, eventually we just broke up because we didn't speak the same language.
I'm sorry, but if you're living in Boca del Toro and you own a hostel, you don't know any Spanish?
That was my point. I didn't understand that at all. I mean, he said hello and how are you. That was it. There was no basic Spanish at all.
I cannot understand that. I've been to Boca del Toro too, actually.
Oh, look at Kate flexing.
This is, I've never been to Europe. There's a lot of places I haven't been, but I've been to a lot of places in the Caribbean, actually. So, because I studied abroad in Costa Rica for 4 months.
I always forget that. You told me that.
So when I was in Costa Rica, I went all over that country to the coast all the time. And then we had 2 spring breaks. For 1 week, we went to Boca del Toro. And the other week, we went to Nicaragua.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I had weirdly had a connection to some of these places. So this place is so amazing, Boca del Toro.
Really?
It's Kate, so beautiful.
Did you fall in love when you were in the Caribbean?
No. No.
I thought there was a little pause.
There was a short fling, tropical fling. And actually, I did start dating a guy that was in my program. So he was from the States.
Oh.
And I dated him for a while, but.
damn it, I was hoping you were gonna be somehow have some Caribbean love out there. There's still time.
There was a fling.
Oh, nice. So really, you were living the real life version of this TLC show.
It was bringing me back for real. Yeah.
Okay. So you're right, as you were saying, Mark, he owned a hostel for years, and there was just, he had no sense of Spanish. And then he went to go and live with her, like I say, after she came out of rehab. And they were together for 6 months living in the parents' house. And to go through that and to dedicate that period in your life and give up a lot to go and help this woman. And he's like, the thing that tore us apart was just, I never understood what she was saying.
What? Well, I think it was probably a lot to do with living with the family in perhaps small quarters. We don't know. But I think maybe it just got to be a lot right away. They hadn't known each other very long. That's my guess. It was more about that. And then the fact that he couldn't communicate with her family about everything. And to be fair, Argentinians
are completely wrong. Yeah,
in my experience, a little more difficult to understand their accent.
Okay,
And they talk a little faster. Like in Costa Rica, it was super easy to understand. Just
really
how they speak. Yeah. So
we'll just everyone that's listening, we will have an extra episode where we're just going to do a deep dive in Kate's fling while she was traveling abroad. And so that look out for that on Patreon. All right, so we find out that then Kay basically, I think the way she said it is, she goes, oh, I saw a message from Mark, and I was like, oh fuck, I remember Mark, and so I sent him a message. So what's super romantic that I thought this was like the first time in 9 years they'd spoken. And he was coming back to Panama to meet her because she'd moved from Argentina to Panama permanently, where he originally had his hostel, and they were going to meet up again.
I thought that was really cute, too. She moved back there and was instantly reminded of what they had. And, you know, they're in their mid to late 30s. She's like, let's see if this guy's still single. Yeah. Love it.
I loved it as well. I thought it's like that long lost love that you meet again. I was like, oh, that's so romantic. Then you see her in her apartment. And when, you know how a lot of people use the term free spirit and you're like, shut up. Like, you just bought like a live, love, life sign from Target. That doesn't mean you're a free spirit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but someone discovered Palo Santo.
Exactly. Yeah. Kay, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but she really is. I mean, she just flies by the seat of her pants. Like, she is someone that loves adventure. You can tell, like, genuine adventure. She'll pack a bag and she just moved to different countries and she loves living there. And she's very much against America as well. Like, the interviewer is like, so, you know, would you go back with Mark? And she's like, no. What's so great about America? So automatically I'm like, oh, here's the difference to 90 Day. Okay, I see it coming in. I see what's coming on now. You just got a lot of people that are xenophobic towards America. They just don't want to be here.
She goes, there's nothing special about America. And then she pauses. She pauses and she goes, well, peanut butter. That's it.
That's what she said. I cracked up. All right. I like this. This is different. Then you see her like on her balcony and she's talking to her friend. And she's talking about how, you know, they're just laughing about the fact that she sleeps with a lot of different men and she doesn't want to be faithful. And they're kind of, the friend's like, well, does Mark know? And she's like, ha ha ha, I don't think so. So I was like, okay, that could be for some drama. And then it kind of goes into, I mean, this was a whole season. I can't remember how many episodes it had. Once again, they're always 42 minutes. And I think there was like maybe,
I think it was eight
episodes, yeah. So the progress of them really is, and why I have to scratch what I my first note when I said we have been sleeping on this, is because it was a Bobo 90 Day Fiancé. I don't think it should be under the umbrella for these reasons. The joy of seeing Darcy leave New Jersey, fly to Amsterdam, to meet a Hitler's youth, and when she's as she's going down in the escalator, her fake Louboutin shoe gets caught in the escalator. And she's giving herself a horse bath in the bathroom at the airport. These these are gems of reality stars. And you see the desperation, the fear, the insanity of everyone involved in every single episode of 90 Day Fiancé. You see the rage. You see the alcoholism. I mean, it's a beautiful combination for reality TV. And yes. None of it works out, very rarely. And even the ones that are still together, they're all disasters.
Right.
So, and there's always families that hate someone and there's fights. I mean, there's been everything you can imagine. And as I'm going through this Love in Paradise, the Caribbean, and they all kind of have the same thing, right? You're thinking, well, they're going over to see this person. There's going to be drama. There's going to be this. It actually ended up being ridiculously sensible. And I don't know if you felt like that. Apart from Ariana and Sherlon, that's Ariana, the one that was pregnant.
Right.
Everyone else, their kind of path was very, very boring. They didn't have half the drama that Darcy would bring to any episodes that she's ever been in. And it ended up being like sensible. Like these couples like sat down at the end and were like, you know what? The distance is a lot. And I don't think that really we're going to be able to manage this. So we shouldn't rush into marriage. And you're like, oh, that's all completely sensible.
I was like, wait, are they level-headed?
Yeah. Question mark. It just none of it. And I went, this is why it wasn't successful. None of these people, like, for example, if we go through how kind of the scope of everything, Ariana, who was pregnant with Sherlon, he's 10 years older than her, and yeah, he has no job, no money, and basically she's like, let's go and get married. And this poor girl, I have so much empathy for her because you could see she was desperate for love. She'd never really had a boyfriend before. This was the first guy, and now she's pregnant by him. It was sad. So they go over to Jamaica, and literally they greet each other just with like a side hug. It awkward. It was really awkward. And the mother, I mean, she's very lucky. She has a great...
What? Did you see the mom's shirt?
No, how did I miss it? What was it? Was it a jazzy thing?
Well, they land in Jamaica. They go down to the beach to meet Sherlon. Mm-hmm. And the mom is just wearing this shirt that says, One Love, Jamaica. And like she bought it in the airport to meet Sherlon. No. God.
Brilliant. That's nearly as offensive as when the Real Housewives of Orange County went to Jamaica and they bought the wigs that had the dreads on them and wore them around Jamaica. It's nearly on the level of that. No, I missed that t-shirt. I'm glad you picked that up.
Pretty great.
They do like a side hug, and then the whole kind of thing is just her going, we have to get married. And he's saying, I don't want to rush into marriage. I don't want to do this. So they go to a lawyer. The lawyer's basically like, you can just do another type of visa where you come in for a couple of months. You could be there for the birth of your child. And all of this is going on, and you see this 25-year-old, like 6-month pregnant girl, Ariana. And I just want to say, just leave it. That's all I could feel like saying to her, just leave it. None of this is worth it. You're convincing yourself this is going to work. It's not going to. He's not involved. He has no money or cares to even get money to help you. Just go home with your family. You have a mum, you have siblings, and take care of it. It was really heartbreaking. She kept trying.
She was probably the most delusional of the whole bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. But even with her... And the other one that I said, you know, Amber, that's fighting against herself, I feel like both of them just knew. Whereas with 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, all of the, or et cetera, et cetera, they're like delusional. I mean, really living in a fantasy world, which makes great TV. But you feel like these people were much more relatable of just like, they just kind of wanted a relationship. And she's pregnant now. She has to figure it out.
Right.
But she didn't, and I just wanted her to just go home. That's all I kept thinking, just go home. And then the mother's talking to this Sherlon guy, and she's like, listen, you're the father of my grandchild. You need to get your shit together. And he's like, oh, we don't worry about anything here on the islands. And you're like, oh, my God.
Okay. Well.
So, child's
back
life,
in the Midwest. Yeah. So really with them, kind of what happened, as I say, they stretched a lot out. I think the people that were involved in Love in Paradise, the Caribbean, I think they had their fingers crossed. They knew the formula and they thought everything's going to slot into place like with 90 Day. And it just didn't. Like, these people just didn't give them anything.
It was an experiment. It was a science experiment, the volcano, and it never erupted.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh, it fizzled and...
And it was
that.
A shame. I really had high hopes. So eventually, you know, Ariana goes back, has the baby. And...
Very early. It was a risky
pregnancy. Oh, I didn't watch that bit, but she said something about a blood transfusion. The child needed, like...
She had to get an emergency C-section.
Oh.
And she had her baby way early, and the baby was only 3 pounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he ends up being fine.
Yeah, he looked,
you know,
gorgeous.
Yeah,
like, he was like
so
gorgeous
cute.
Little thing.
Odin, so cute. Very cute,
gorgeous.
Baby.
But so what happened? Sherlon never came back, right? Never came to the States.
So, okay, I have the updates.
Here we go.
So, well, the very end, she... For the most useless information ever.
Most important for this podcast, Kate.
You're right. I won't downplay myself.
Yeah.
So they're having two FaceTimes a day, her and the baby back in the States. And he really does seem like excited about the baby. And he really wants to be there for the baby, so he says. But he can't get the tourist visa, I guess, because of COVID. And so she's planning on taking the baby down there to visit so he can meet the baby.
Oh.
And... I went on Instagram. She's a micro influencer at this point, and they seem to still be together, but he's still it's long distance. He still lives down. And his Instagram is full of photos of the baby, and then you look at the captions and it's oh, my beautiful son. It's hashtag 90 Day Fiance, hashtag paradise, hashtag love in paradise, hashtag baby.
And like, this is a good point to actually plug our Instagram, because listen, good on you, mate. I mean, you know what you're doing here, and you are fulfilling the prophecy of most people that should be in a 90 Day Fiance cast. But just try a little bit harder. Just try a little bit harder with my baby boy. Just something would be nice.
Something.
Oh,
okay.
So,
and then
that's kind of them.
That's them.
And then the kind of path of the other, of the of Daniel and Amber. So this is Daniel 23, Amber 30. She goes over there and she's just stressing all the time, because obviously he then says the thing he wasn't honest about. I was like, come on, there's got to be something good. You know, if they say that in 90 Day Fiance, before the 90 days, 90 Day Pillow Tour, whatever, or et cetera, all those spinoffs, it's always a good one. Like, you know,
I'm still married.
Yes.
I actually have 5 kids.
Yes. Like, always good.
Something
like
good.
They were in jail. You know, there's something really good about to come out. But this was just Daniel saying, I quit my job. And so she's crying. She's like, I'm paying for everything. And it is gross. Like, she's paying for all this paperwork, which was thousands. And she's doing, and then he's like, and I want to bring my mom and I want to bring my brother over. And you're like, oh, God. So... that was kind of it, though. It really wasn't huge. And then she's going back and forth about being super angry and then being fine with him. And then he takes her on like a picnic at a waterfall. And then I don't know what happens at the end. I couldn't be bothered with them. They don't get engaged, right? Well, they do.
They're married now. They get engaged. Yeah, they get engaged. And they're currently married.
So is he in the States?
Yeah. He came up.
No way.
He moved from Costa Rica to the States, and they look really happy on Instagram anyway. I know that's all fake anyway, but
well,
you know, you never know, but they're putting on a very happy front. Yeah.
But they're smart. They're going to get a second season. Like, it's going to, they're going to get followed for a second season. I mean, look, I'd know how to play this game. If you've watched any of 90 Day Fiance, you know how to get a second season on TLC. There are some rules you have to play by. That's interesting. Okay, so once again, like, that's kind of boring. There was no big revelations. There was nothing going on. Stephen and Martine, This was really disappointing. I was hoping this was going to blow up into something, and nothing. Stephen actually had money and actually treated Martine to like a nice resort to stay in when she went over there. She kind of kept going back and forth about, you know, you cheated on me. How can I trust you again? And then
did you see the fake scene that they had that waitress do?
Oh, that was typical TLC.
This is so classic TLC. So they're sitting at dinner. It's the first night that she's back in Barbados. And so his whole thing is he's a cool party guy. He's a DJ. Yeah. Everyone knows him type of thing. And she's the jealous girlfriend. Because he cheated on me. And their waitress comes over and she just kind of walks over straight to him. And she goes, "You're the guy that was at the party last week." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm that guy." And she just goes, "I love you," and wipes her hand down his arm and walks away.
I mean, look, I'm not going to go as far as to say she was a PA, but she learned from the best of PAs.
She's putting this in her acting reel. And then she comes back and she's like, "How were the drinks?" And then she looks right at him and he's like, "Oh, good." And she goes, "I made it special for you."
Oh, so bad. It was so cheap. It's just, as I say, it's like a Bobo 90 day. It's like, even with our 90 days, we get those set up scenes, but there's a little bit more grace with it, if grace and 90 Day Fiancé go hand in hand. Yeah. But this is just they were just trying so hard. It just didn't, it couldn't get there. It was always like in a, you know, if someone, you know, when you see like two really, really good looking parents and they have a kid and the kid isn't good looking and there's just something off, like there's one chromosome or one gene that just didn't fit, and they're like a terrible version of two beauties. And Love in Paradise was the ugly child of 90 Day Fiancé.
It's beautiful parents. Yeah,
it was.
It's the junior varsity version of 90 Day.
I understood that American term, I would agree. Don't know what that is.
All right.
But okay. So moving on, we have that. So that was kind of it. And then they discussed
the update. Oh yeah.
So they discussed it, and they actually once again came to a really rational conclusion of, we should try and get to know each other before getting engaged. Sensible.
Well, because with the way he phrases it to her too, I thought she was gonna get upset because he's telling her, "Well, I bought an engagement ring," because her whole thing is like, "I'm either leaving here with an engagement ring or we're done."
Right.
And so at one of their last scenes, he's like, "I bought an engagement ring, but I'm not gonna give it to you because I don't think we're ready." And I was like, oh, she's going to be pissed.
Sure.
But she just turns to him and she goes, "You know what? I think you're right about that. We're not quite ready."
Oh, for God's
sake.
I was like,
what is this?
No. You have to learn from Doss. When Darcy was with her second long distance love, Tom, the English guy that could only take selfies at a certain angle, that was a complete knob end, by the way.
Yes.
She thought she was getting an engagement ring the entire time. And of course, he hands her a box and it just has a key in it. So she loses her shit. And that's what we're supposed to get. That's the reaction that we're supposed to get.
I wanted to see her push him off a boat or something. You know, fantastic. I wanted to see her like throw the drink at the waitress. But
no, it was just completely sensible. So what happened after that, like, what's their conclusion? Are they friends? Are they...
No, they post each other all the time. And according to In Touch Weekly, they're married.
So they're married?
Yeah. 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 They got married in Florida, but they live in Miami.
See, boring. I don't want to say... Was there any scandal? Did you get anything from...
No. In Touch Weekly just had a very lovely article about all the happy couples from the show.
Ring.
I couldn't believe it. I know.
That's really annoying. And then the last couple, Kay, the personal trainer, and Mark from California, they're kind of just as boring. They have a ton of sex and they kind of go out. And he's just, I mean, he is in love with this woman. And she's, you understand, she's one of these very magnetic people.
She's cool.
She's
one of these like hot, hot, muscly, tan women with like, mm-hmm. her hair is kind of scraggly, but it looks good. And she just has a closet full of tank tops that she throws on.
Sure. Yeah. Just easy breeze. Mm-hmm. She's just easy breeze with life. And she doesn't care. She's just like, I want to have sex with a load of different men and I love life and I want to have fun with it and I don't want to be tied down. And this Mark is just, oh, he's so in love with her. You think if it did work out, how romantic, but it never was going to. And he still, by the way, refuses to learn Spanish. She's like, it always puts me I'm not fluent in any other language. I speak little bits of this and that, but I'm no way fluent in other languages. And it's so embarrassing. That's one thing. When you watch 90 Day Fiancé, these people from everywhere apart from England and America, they do everything to learn the English language and they are outstanding. And we're like, hola, ¿cómo estás? I mean, it's just awful.
There's a guy on Before the 90 Days and he keeps saying muy, and he can't even say muy bien or something. He's like, mucho bien, like the easiest phrases he can't get.
It's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
So embarrassing. And then, sorry, I have a little bit of ice in my mouth from my mezcal margarita.
I want one so bad. I'm so jealous.
Okay, yay. So they are, what were you saying about that? Yeah, so, sorry, crunching my ice over a mic on a podcast. I just swallowed it. Apologies, listeners, apologies. So
she's telling him she doesn't want to move to California. She loves her life there. She likes, she doesn't want to.
Honest.
She's non-monogamous and she, you know, that's her thing.
And that's the thing. She was completely honest with him. They sat down, they had an adult relationship, an adult conversation about their relationship and everything ended okay. And he says, and he was, you know, he said, it's very sad. I'm in love with someone that doesn't love me. And that was sad, but it was, they were always, and by the way, I didn't see anyone wasted drunk on any of these episodes. Did you?
No, what a disappointment. They did have some gross sex sounds when Mark, the first day that Mark got to Kay's, they go and take shower together and there's all this audio of Mark moaning.
Ugh.
I was like,
that's true. That's true. There was a little bit of that. There was. But I mean, I just, it was for everything from my first line, I scratched it out, Kate. I scratched it out on my notepad because it's not true. We weren't sleeping on this. We rightfully ignored this. It didn't have, it didn't pack the punch. I'm still going to say, I hold out hope that maybe TLC, I mean, I'm sure all the producers are listening to this podcast. I think that what they can do, they can redeem themselves, but they have to learn their lessons. They cannot do a season two with these type of people. They need to find a Jesse. They need to find a Darce. They need to find an Angela.
Larissa, yeah.
They need to find those people. If they don't, they can't come back for season two. Is it going to be a season two? Do you know?
I haven't heard. I don't think it's been announced.
See, it's just, it's not great.
But then get this Instagram. Yeah. I went on their Instagram and Kay seems to live in the States now. All of her most recent posts are tagged in Miami. And then in late 2021, she has a bunch of posts tagged in California. Her and Mark went to Big Bear in like November or something.
And then on Mark's
Instagram, he doesn't post as much as her, but he has a post where he's from late last year where he's promoting her as a personal trainer. Because she trained him and he got really tightened up with his
physique. Looks like she's permanently in the States.
According to the internet, yes.
What about your sources? Has ScreenRant.com said anything? I mean, have you got any of these reputable sources that have mentioned anything about Kay and Mark?
I mean, that's what Screen Rant said. Well, Screen Rant gave me their Instagrams.
Oh, got it. So it actually was Screen Rant. Okay.
It really was.
It really was.
And then InTouch gave me the updates on whether they're still together.
That's really...
Okay. And then I also went to Instagram and looked at all their pages and crept on them.
See the work you do. Do you see? I mean, listeners, do you really acknowledge the work
if that anyone does for this body? Is like wants to know something about a guy they're about to date? Call me.
Yeah. Outstanding. So, I mean, that was pretty much it. So, my conclusion on it is pretty obvious. I thought it could have been something so good. We could have put this under the umbrella, tucked it under the umbrella of 90 Day. It could have been a shining shooting star like 90 Day Fiancé. But the formula was messed up. They put like a dash in the wrong box. Like something was just off with this. They picked people that were sensible and it was boring. So for me, I heard a lot of fucks and I heard a lot of, and I saw a lot of nipples. So I gave it, for that, I gave it 278 pounds of learning.
Okay.
And I also, including that, I did learn that people on reality dating shows can show some sanity. Should they? No.
No.
But on this, they did. So, oh, I didn't even say, Kate, do you want to say how we rate each show?
Right. So after we talk about each show, we rate it on a scale of 0 to 600 so that we can be as specific as we want. Mm. And that number is based on 600 Pound Life, one of the most popular shows on the network.
Right. So what did you give it? What was your conclusion on that?
I gave it 305. I think it
305.
305. It got extra points because it brought a lot of great memories back, because I have visited these places. And so getting to see all the footage of these countries was really fun for me, because I haven't traveled in so long. So I liked that aspect of it.
Okay. And just to remind everyone again, Kate's love story from her love in the Caribbean will be on Patreon soon.
I'll tell you how that ended off, Mike.
I want
to
know.
Or to anyone who wants to pay me to say it to them.
Yes, yes. Patreon, everyone. Patreon. All right. So that was that. That was the show. So disappointed, TLC. But look, I'm still giving you a little bit of hope. We can bring this back season two. Get the casting agent from 90 Day, who has got to be a multimillionaire by now. And if they're not, they should be. Whoever cast 90 Day Fiancé, the original first season, genius. Get that casting agent. Get new people and try and bring this back to life.
We've watched worse. I mean, it was no Say Yes to the Dress.
Kate, please.
Not to bring that up, sorry.
Can you look, it was a really hard rage week for me that week. I don't want to discuss it again. I want to put it in the past.
Okay, noted.
Along with A Baby Story. Like, all of those episodes have to go away, okay?
Dark times. Yeah, okay. Okay, sorry about that. I won't do that again. Yeah.
It's okay. Oh, hello. It's Pauline again. And I am slotting in here between two very important points being made to hawk some of my merch. Hooray! Okay, this will only take a minute. You are obviously a fan of the absurd if you're listening to this. So I'm sure you have a small place in your heart for the gloriously absurd Real Housewives franchise on Bravo. I've created a line of the snarkiest notebooks you will find based on the Real Housewives of New York. They are available on Etsy. Link to my store is in the show notes. Okay, I finished hawking. Back to the show. Okay. Right, let's move on to this Bizarro Town second show that we got. So as I said, you know, we got two that we'd never seen. This one, second one, is My Kid's Obsession. And TLC describes it as five kids show off their unique and unusual collections that they've spent years gathering, including the world's largest collection of fishing lures, an unusual set of vacuums, and one kid's fascination with fans.
All right.
So
here we go.
I will let you take the lead on this, Kate, but I do want to add, this was luckily only a 1 hour special. It was not like a season. I mean, even TLC couldn't make this into a season. It was like 1 hour episode. I'm right in saying that, yeah?
I almost got the impression that there were more of them, but they only have this one available to view at this point. This is the only one out there. But I could be wrong. But this is the only one you can find. This, what we watched. Yeah. So, okay, four kids. We're going to talk about four kids. And let's just go through them. So we start off with Reese. And Reese. Reese is from North Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
This is time for to do your accent work, by the way, Kate.
All right, I'll do my best.
Thank you.
And his obsession is with fans, all kinds of fans. And he has 200, over 200 of them. He has pedestal fans, table fans, tower fans, box, hassock, ceiling fans, anything you can imagine. Antiques, brand new ones. And he loves it. He loves them.
I want to ask one question. They obviously interview the parents for this, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. His father was Bill Gates, right? The guy that was his dad was Bill Gates. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were in Wisconsin, Bill. How's it going?
Laying low.
He was laying low, but he decided to make an appearance on a TLC show. This guy was Bill Gates' image. And for me, and we'll go on to the rest of them, every single parent looked the same, and they looked the same in the sense of I couldn't really see their face. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about with their faces. I've used the phrase functional face from my darling friend in England. Mm-hmm. All of these parents, like, there's sometimes people's, apart from Bill Gates, obviously I could recognize that was Bill Gates living in Wisconsin, but the rest of these people, I couldn't tell features. It was just white, beige imagery. Everything was beige. Everything made me sad, and everyone looked the same. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. They're all that person from high school that you can't remember their name. That's all the parents. The person from high school who got straight A's but never spoke a word.
I couldn't fathom it. And Reese, what I loved about, I mean, there's a lot to say about this show, because I want to focus a lot. I mean, Kate goes in with the characters and the people and who they are. I want to focus on the crew. You've got your debut as a producer. Like, I'm finally into producing. I've got this cameraman that's like, you know what? I was an assistant. I finally got my first, you know, gig as like first assistant or whatever it was on camera. And he's telling all of his mates, oh, what is it for? It's a TLC show. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, that's great. You've got your first gig. Yep. What's it for? Well, it's about a load of kids that are obsessed with weird things. Okay. That might be all right. And then we go to Reese, who's obsessed with fans, as Kate said. The first shot, one of the first shots, is him sitting in a tree on a tree branch holding a fan with like Tim Burton music in the background. I thought I was watching Beetlejuice, which is one of my favorite films, but it was like, I'm sorry, who is running the show here? And who is watching this? I don't understand any of it.
The shots that they made these kids do were killing me. I was taking video of it for our TikTok.
It was. Oh, should we plug our TikTok? No, we'll do that at the end. Okay. It was brutal. Get up. And you can just imagine some fucking pissed off crew member that's like, this is the fucking job I have to do to pay my mortgage this month. All right, can you just get up the tree? Well, I don't know if I want it. Just get up the tree. Bring a fan up. Sit there. We'll play some quirky music. Bill Gates, get back in the house. Let's just have focus on the kid.
Hug it. Hug it like a teddy bear.
It was bizarro.
So this started from age 2, he says. Now he's 11. And something else that I noticed about all these kids is they all have a white whale, so to speak. They're all after a certain type of their obsession. So his white whale is the Galaxy by Lasco. It's a box fan that he had. It was his first box fan, and it broke, and his dad threw it out, and he never forgave his dad. So he never forgave Bill Gates, and he searches for hours online every day trying to find one. Can't find one.
Just going to interject there.
Yeah.
Neither Kate or I have children.
Nope.
But that obviously means then when you don't have children, you are the authority on telling people how to parent. I would just like that to be really clear.
Yeah.
We are. If my child spent the majority of his day on the internet searching for a box fan, I think I'd take pause. And you know what I wouldn't do, Kate? I wouldn't allow a load of cameramen to come in and film it and put it on national TV. But Bill Gates doesn't give a fuck, apparently.
Unclear who this show is for. Extremely
Thank you.
Unclear.
Do we want to talk about the audience? Who? Look, I understand that, you know, CIS or NCIS or NCIS New York or NCIS Miami or et cetera, are the, like, number one shows in America. I don't know a single person that has ever watched an episode, but they are the number one shows in America. So I understand there is a community of people that watch shows that I don't watch and nobody I know watches. But this, we want to get into the room when someone pitches this idea. If you could be, and by the way, guys, we're only on episode 7 here. We have a total of 113 shows and growing, and some of them are a hell of a lot worse than this. So for this to get pitched, I just don't understand. I don't understand a thing about it. I don't understand how this was made. I feel a lot of empathy for the crew that must have been drunk the entire time to get through it. The parents, Bill Gates, I'm looking at you, that just was okay with this being filmed.
It's strange. It's very strange. I don't know if other parents watched it and they have kids that are obsessed with stuff like this and they related to it. I'm like, maybe. I'm like, do the kids think it's cool they were on TV? I mean, anyway. So the fans are taking over the home. That's the other thing. That's the other thing. All of these hobbies are taking over the house that these people live in, which is, I would never.
I mean, and with Bill Gates' happen. Money as well, you can imagine how big the house is.
No, these are all modest ranch houses in the Midwest, okay? And they just have fans lining the whole house. He has shelving installed in his room with the fans. He likes to surround himself with the fans. This was the most strange part, I thought. He likes to lick the fans, and his parents let him.
So, okay, I want to stop for a second, because as we're all made acutely aware, if you've been listening to any of these episodes of Tender Love and Care ? I skim a lot of these shows, unless they're gonna be like a Darce, a Stace, a man with an 80-pound groin, Jotty. Like, those are the ones I'm going to study as if they were my finals. But I skim a lot. I did not know about the licking. What do you mean licking, like to get his tongue cut by them? Because if you lick it, what do you mean? What do you mean lick them?
I'll tell you. He has a fan on. It's not going super fast, and it has really big, it's a really wide sort of, what do you even call that?
Yeah, what do you... Kate is just moving her hand right now.
Like, you a clock.
This is a podcast, so that's not going to help. I don't know.
Sticky outy things.
Sticky and, outy thing.
It's kind of moving around a little bit slower, and they do this big shot of him leaning in, sticking his tongue out, and letting the fan graze it as it goes by.
All right.
And his parents just say, oh, yeah, you know, it makes him happy. So we let him do it. We just tell him to be careful. And
well,
I'm
you know,
like,
what made you know what made Ted Bundy happy when he was a child? Wetting the bed, setting stuff on fire, and killing stuff. But you know what? That didn't end up too well for him. And I don't think we should encourage any of these kids to do what they think they should be doing, because clearly there is a lot of unhinged behavior.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments in this special where you just want to shake the parents and say, "Are you in there? Are you a parent?"
No. Nothing.
Who's running this household?
You know what I would love to have seen? I would love to have seen a behind the scenes of this guy. This is what I imagine. This guy or girl, right? That's the cameraman or camerawoman on this scene. And they're like, okay, so we've set up the scene. We're going to film him now licking a fan. And she or he is sat there going, I am in $80,000 worth of debt from film school. And I'm sat here filming for TLC, a kid licking a fan
in the basement of a small town in Wisconsin. And I'm filming an 11-year-old lick a fan and gain pleasure from it.
But don't give up on your dreams, everyone. If you want to go to film school, theater school, go for it. But just be warned, you're either going to end up like that, or you're going to end up like Kate and I, making a podcast about people. That's where you're gonna go.
Ooh.
So that's Reese. His brother Logan is very annoyed that the fans are taking over the house. He likes to stop the fans with his tongue. I wrote .. This doesn't bode well.
No. Oh God.
Okay, he is smart. He makes his own air hockey table using fans and a big cardboard box. So some of these kids, they would come up with smart things, and I'm like, okay, they're smart. And so the big finale of his segment is they drive 6 hours to the only fan museum in the country, because he has been invited to lend 3 of his favorite fans from his collection to this museum. This museum, they show up, he meets the future him who runs this museum of fans, and they get on, you know, like,
yeah,
he's in a pod. And he's so excited. He has someone to talk fans with. He's walking around. He's like, oh, that's the Lasco 2000. Oh, that's from 1970. Have you seen that? They're doing a remake of that. Have you seen those?
Is this real? I mean, or is this set up? Like, there's actually a fan museum.
No, there's actually a museum of fans. And they have fans from the 1800s on. I mean, it's historical. It's antiques, basically. And this guy who owns the museum found his white whale. He found Reese's white whale. He found the Galaxy by Lasco from that specific year.
No.
He got it online and overnighted it to the museum so he could give it to the kid.
Did the kid piss himself?
Oh, he was tickled pink. He was so happy about it. He was like, oh my gosh. Yes.
I mean, because to be honest, he was mere months away from killing his father in his sleep because that father got rid of that fan. I mean, it was really
slicing. He's going to get one of those old metal fans and slice his neck with it.
And then lick it all. Yeah, it was really heading that way.
Yeah.
So that's the conclusion for Reese.
Fan kid. That's it. That's what they said on the plaque. Is his fans were right in the beginning of the museum in the entryway. And then it said, Reese Umbreet, fan kid. The fan kid. So that's Reese.
How are you doing, Reese? All right, moving on.
Now this one.
Which one are you going to?
Should I go to the bad one? The gross one?
The gross one. Go with what you want to. Go with what you want to. I feel like
I'm just going in order. I'm just going in order of the show that I watch.
Go in order.
So the next kid that they show is Shelby, okay? Shelby is 9 years old. She lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she collects cockroaches, live cockroaches. She breeds them, actually. And in her bedroom has thousands of cockroaches in big plastic bins.
Okay. Just going to let that sit there for a second for all of our listeners. A lot of things to say about this. We're going to go to the parents. We're going to go to the parents straight away.
These parents, dead
First
in the
of
head.
All, once again, there were no features. I couldn't see them. I just saw a white mass with dark hair for the mother, and the father was just bulging eyes that basically threatened me. Every single word this man said as a father was a threat. Even discussing Shelby, I thought, he is threatening everyone. He was terrifying. There was a darkness behind the eyes of this father that I thought he hated his wife. Hated his wife. You could tell instantly. They hadn't had sex in at least 15 years, I would say. Well, hang on, the kid's nine.
Well, nine.
They hadn't had sex. Did not have sex in 9 years, for sure. And he was looking into this camera with such hate and regret and poison that I thought, he terrifies me to my core. I can't see him. I could just see the eyes. But from what he's saying, I'm terrified.
He had dark circles under his eyes and these sort of buggy Steve Buscemi eyes. And like,
yeah, he has a basement. He definitely has a basement. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Yep. Stuff going on there.
And the parents are telling the producers that they do not like this.
Yep.
But they're like, well, you know, it's her passion. I'm like, she can find another
There's
passion.
Other stuff.
So
There's other stuff.
How this all started is she was a toddler, basically, and they went on some trip and she saw the roaches. She was drawn to them. So she only had female roaches at first, and she mm-hmm. had a handful of them in a container, in an environment mm-hmm. in her room. And then when she's a couple years later, she's five, she goes on a field trip and they give her male ones.
Yep.
Brings them home, breeds them. They breed very quickly. Now she has thousands of, and all different kinds, hissing ones. And she's got them crawling. Oh my God. I forgot how this segment started.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So they did the segment with Reese with the fan in the tree, right? That was his big weird thing. The thing with Shelby is they set it up like it's a horror movie, and she's standing over her twin bed, and she slowly reaches and pulls the covers back, and their bed is crawling in roaches, and she screams.
That was $80,000 worth of debt in student loans from whoever created that. Congratulations.
And they're crawling all over her, and then it just cuts to her being like, I'm Shelby and I love roaches. It's like, what? And then I was literally gagging this whole time. I hate roaches. And so her mom is like, yeah, at one point she kept getting sick, and so we were trying to figure out what it was. And so we were like, oh, maybe we should take the big bin of roaches out of her room. And Shelby goes, yeah, but then when they took the roaches out, I kept getting nightmares. And the nightmares wouldn't stop until they brought the roaches back.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So the child is getting ill, and it's obviously as we have discussed in previous podcasts, I'm basically a lawyer, detective, and I would say doctor. I mean, there hasn't been any training in any of these areas, but, you know, when it's natural, okay?
Yeah.
And
I'm a dermatologist.
You are a dermatologist, as
right.
we know.
Right.
And I think that there was some airborne illness from having... And when Kate says thousands, by the way, she's not... That's not hyperbole. Like, she's not exaggerating. It's true. There are thousands of roaches that she's contained in these bins in this little girl's bedroom.
These bins are like 6 foot by 3 foot plastic bins that are piled with roaches. Okay.
And, you know, this... Well, I'll get on to my animal cruelty in this because I do think this is serious. But she takes... as Kate says, she's ill. This little girl's ill. And it's like, yeah, no shit, she's ill. Because these roaches are eating at this stuff and their excrement and all of that's in the air that this little girl is sleeping next to every single night. And then the girl's like, no, I get nightmares. And she's like, I need to bring the roaches back. And it's like an M. Night Shyamalan It starting film. They bring the roaches back and she's looking at the camera and she's like, and she has the same Steve Buscemi eyes that the father does. And she just says, I don't get nightmares anymore. The cockroaches are my dream catchers.
I dream.
And catchers. I think at that point, someone should have been called. Some kind of authority should have been called to say, we really need to see what's going on in this household. We have the dad that has a basement. We have the kid that's sleeping with roaches and a mother that really isn't there anymore. So when you combine all of that, Kate, I don't think it bodes well. I just don't think it bodes well for the future.
It was haunting. And then she has some friends over. They, in a lot of these segments, they bring the friends in to get their opinion, you know. And they do a roach fashion show. So they're cutting out these little outfits of felt and putting them on the roaches and shining a flashlight on them. It's a fashion
show. Like, legit. Like, Kate's not, once again, she's not, everyone's going to think, oh, you're exaggerating. They had stuff that they put on these roaches and had them in the living room going up and down. And this is when I was like, enough. Like, this is when I am calling Peter. Like, this is gross. These animals should not be inside, first of all, for health reasons. Second of all, don't keep animals in cages at all, ever. I could have a whole other podcast, which will be available on Patreon, where I can go on about the treatment of animals. Don't put them in these cages. Don't put them in boxes. Even roaches, I don't care. Don't put them in these massive containers. And then have the stick stuff with glue or however they did it onto these bodies. And then, Kate, do you want to tell me what happened when they got a cannon involved with the roaches?
Okay, before we get to the circus, I just want to shout out Emily, who was the only real one in this whole segment. because they interview her one friend and her one friend's like, yeah, it's pretty cool. And then they go to Emily and Emily's by herself and she's like, yeah, I think it's pretty weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, Emily!
Well done. Well done, Emily.
Thank you, Emily. Mm-hmm. So, okay, her big finale thing. So the other kid had the museum. Hers is to go to a museum, to teach some other little kids about roaches.
Oh, it was a children's museum. That's what it was. It was a children's museum. Yeah.
And she's doing it by creating a roach circus. So there's a Ferris wheel. She puts all the roaches in this little cardboard Ferris wheel she created. And then there's a tightrope. So she makes one of the roaches crawl his little legs along this little string. And then they created a cannon.
A cannon, literally a cannon. It was a paper cannon that you would have like this confetti shit come out of.
Mm-hmm. They shove a roach down there and then they created this cardboard quote unquote ring of fire. Okay. It's like made of construction paper. And then they have a net at the back behind that. And they launch this roach through and they do it in slow motion like it's a movie. Dun, 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 dun. They launch this roach through the ring of fire. It lands and she goes, and she's still alive. And then the kids cheer.
Once again, I was disgusted by this. It's animal cruelty that they put on TLC. I thought it was disgusting. I hated it. Listen, everyone by now that listens to the podcast should know I've stated before my three fears. They are heights, men with long fingernails, and rats and mice. Rats and mice terrify me. There is no if, ands, or buts. I want to vomit when I see them. I'm so scared. However, I would do anything I could to protect those from being tested upon from used in medical experiments to being killed. I will protect them as much as I would protect a cat and a dog. And I will protect a roach. And what they did on this is disgusting. I just hated it. I have to say that, Kate. I hated it. I thought it was disgusting.
I just hated it because I think they're gross. I want to puke.
My diatribe.
To be completely honest, I don't really care about the roaches.
You know, can you know that Peter, or we should do a call out. Can you imagine Peter would have gone, you don't put an... it was so bizarre.
I mean,
you know,
I would kill a roach, and even I was like, this seems like a lot with the cannon. I'm like,
it was, but you know, he was front and center. I wasn't a little girl. Do you see the dad? Dad's used to a lot of, I'm going to use the word experimentation while his wife's asleep upstairs. I'm just going to leave it at that. And I'm also going to say, basement. Okay, moving on.
All right, then we have Logan from Sibley, Iowa.
Wait, from where, Kate?
Sibley, Iowa. Pauline, Sibley, Iowa is 40 minutes away from my hometown. 35 miles.
I was gonna ask you, because of course, like, as we say, Kate and I always, we never discuss this beforehand, any of the shows. We always say hashtag save it for the party. And I saw this guy come up from Iowa, and I was like, there's no way this, you know, Iowa's a big city. This is not going to be anywhere near Kate. Really?
We played Sibley in sports. Yeah, I've been through Sibley many times. Yeah. I was shocked when it came up. I was like, what?
I love it.
This is so random.
Talk to us about Logan, because I have some stuff to say about Sibley. I didn't know that was the name. I'm going to write that down. Sibley.
Okay. Logan is 13 years old. He says vacuum cleaners they don't take over his life. They are his life. He has 109 in his collection. Okay. And his white whale is the Kirby Sanitronic 50. So this was my favorite one, I have to say.
Not because of Iowa.
Not because of that, but because if my kid was going to be obsessed with any of these four things, cleaning the floor.
I know. That was really nice. We have a shot, like it starts with him and he's just aggressively like vacuuming the living room. And this poor sister's like, I just want to play the piano.
Kill me now.
She's,
yeah.
She's like, I can't ever hear anything. Because it's just the sound of the vacuums. And you know, she's going to end up somewhere where she has to repeat continuously, I just wake up to the sound of the vacuums. I just wake up to the sound of the vacuums. It's not going to be good for her. So I'm sorry to Logan's sister, whoever she is, but eesh. And you see him. And you see him vacuuming. And you're right, Kate. Any of these, perfect. And he's 13 and he's doing this. Then the shot, you know, we had the shot of obviously the roaches in the bed and climbing on that girl, Shelby. And then we had Reese sitting in a tree, just on a tree branch with a big fan in his arms with the Tim Burton music. And then Logan's was. Now, I have to set the scene for everyone. I've been to Iowa. Beautiful, gorgeous, love it. Well, I've seen. I haven't been to, what's this place called?
Sibley,
okay. So there is a scene and it's him. The voiceover is Logan, the little boy, saying, I love my vacuum cleaner so much. I take them places to go and vacuum elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of spliced with his mother, who you see is doing someone's hair. She's a hairdresser. But the woman that she's doing looks like I didn't know whether it was a mannequin or not, because she never moved. But it was an actual woman. She's cutting her hair. It goes back to Logan. He's on a regular bicycle with a long vacuum cleaner that nobody's seen since probably circa 1972. And in the background, there is all I could see, where you have the shot of him cycling down this concrete road. Mm-hmm. In the background is a power plant. And all I heard was a Stephen King movie. It was as though there was a narrator just about to come up and say, Their childhood was a simple one, full of bike rides and hazy summer days. It was something like that. This guy's on this bike with the vacuum cleaner. Then it has, even to emphasize the Stephen King movie, has a shot of him going to his mother's hairdressers, and it's a 1950s hairdresser. There's wooden siding on the walls inside. The signage outside was just like a 1950s emblem. I was like, what is this place?
Let me tell you, Pauline, Northwest Iowa is, we're a simple folk, okay? We don't update anything until it absolutely needs to be updated. And it's in the past. You're stepping back in time.
Which I love and I appreciate greatly. But I really thought I was watching an adaptation of a Stephen King film when he was
Shot. Yeah, it was.
Just him cycling and holding on to this. And I thought, but you know what, Kate? That's where the $80,000 in student debt comes into play. Like, that's the training that TLC cameramen get. You know,
they're flexing a little bit, yeah.
They are. They knew what they were doing. They were like, we've had enough. We've been through cockroaches. We've been through some weird kid that cuts his tongue off with fans. I want to make this my shot.
Let's get a dope-ass shot of a small-town kid riding his bike with a vacuum strapped to it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he vacuums his home. He wakes up, vacuums the whole entire house, goes to his mom's salon, vacuums her salon. His dad is a firefighter, so he goes on down there and vacuums the whole fire station. His dad goes, oh yeah, we have the cleanest fire trucks in Northwest Iowa. And not I was even, like,
because you know his whole
so
world
weird.
Is just Iowa. So he has to specify Northeast.
Northwest Iowa. I mean, it was really weird watching this, living so close to this. But I know all these people. I'm like, I know all
really?
These
you
types
knew them?
Of people.
You knew these characters?
Yeah, so. Yeah. I knew them. So I don't know. I was like, this is a useful hobby. I'm like, he needs to go over to Shelby's and like vacuum up some of these.
Vacuum up these fucking cockroaches.
Vacuum up some of the roaches
for
the mom.
That's a TLC spinoff. Let's have all the kids together. There's the kid with his tongue in a fan. There's someone vacuuming off cockroaches. There's Bill Gates coming in. Mm-hmm. You've got Tim Burton music. You've got the guy with the basement. It would be brilliant.
Shelby's screaming. Yeah, it would be great. Oh. Or very upsetting. So then he starts a vacuum repair business because people hear about him. It's a very small town, okay? This town is probably a couple thousand people, a few thousand, you know, it's probably like 3,000 people. Let me just double check.
Look it up because I'm not kidding when I say I looked at the exterior shot of the hairdressers and I just thought, it really, once again, this is an adaptation. Like, I was like, have I switched onto Lifetime? Have I switched onto some channel where it's like we have been thrown back in time? It was like small, small town America, which I'm kind of obsessed with because I grew up watching movies where you have this small town America and everyone knows each other and they're all tiny. So you have one street, high street.
It's the perfect setting for something like that because small towns have a very seedy underbelly because everyone in a small town wants to believe that it is completely idyllic and they're telling themselves that, like, that's why I live here because nothing bad ever happens here. But bad things do happen in small towns. It just gets swept under the rug and we pretend it didn't happen. So there's a reason why these creepy stories happen in these small towns because that's the attitude.
That's going to be a spin-off from Tender Love and Care? Swept Under the Rug, a podcast coming to you soon about crimes in small town America. Oh, yes, Kate. Let's get on it.
Population, I was right, 2,800 people. Okay. Small town.
Wow.
So everyone knows each other. They're like, okay, this kid loves vacuums. So the neighbors are bringing over their vacuums, like, here, have mine. And should mention,
Vacuums are taking over their home, just like the fans, lining every single room. Their kitchen, the kitchen counter, the island, is actually a giant display case where he keeps his most prized vacuum that he shines every day.
I'm gonna stop you there. I think parents, there should be some parental responsibility here. Here's the deal. Do you want to get your kid beaten up at school every day? Or do you want to kind of allow them to have a semblance of a normal life? Because you can encourage hobbies that may be a little bit odd, a little bit out of the norm, but don't encourage it to the level of altering your home for this child. But once again, it's like these small towns where their parents are just, my entire life is my child.
Nothing's
my entire
wrong.
Life is my child.
Yeah, nothing's
my
wrong.
My entire life is my child. They have no personality.
Yeah. We're normal over here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he makes it a business, and he's making money charging.
Fair
he's,
enough.
He's fixing people. He has a repair business for these vacuums. He uses glitter to test them out. Glitter is the hardest thing to get out of carpet.
Yes.
And
I think there's gonna be a lot of glitter in his home in the future, but
probably
anyway, moving on.
He has a vacuum themed birthday party for his 14th birthday party. And
do you want me to tell you, this will be under Patreon as well. I'll tell you what I was doing at 14 years old, and it wasn't having birthday parties with vacuum cleaners. Let's just say that.
bit more risque.
And that will be available on Patreon, coming to you soon.
So it's nice, you know, they throw a great party for him. They have they play this game where they're the kids.
Okay, I don't even want you to go on. You know, at this point, I'm depressed, right? And I just think of him. I don't. You've mentioned small town. You've mentioned 14-year-old that's vacuum cleaners, that's birthday party. I just.
I don't know.
What's the game? What's the game, Kate? Just tell me the game.
Okay.
What's the game?
Okay, thank you. They're laying, it's six kids. They're laying facing each other, three on a team. They each have a vacuum cleaner that has a detachable hose thing, and they're pointing them at each other. And then they have like a ping pong ball or some light ball in the middle, and they have to get it across the other person's line. So they're like blowing thing, and they're having the best of times. And then his mom unsheaths this cake. And it is literally like 2 feet tall, and it's a vacuum cake. I was like, I'm sorry, what bakery in Sibley, Iowa made this incredible vacuum cake?
Don't go against your people here. I don't like what you're saying. You're going to get so much. Your people from Northwest Iowa, they're talented folks, and I use the word folks because they have gone, there are some bakeries there apparently that are going to make you a vacuum cleaner.
Pauline, these are towns where there is like a Subway sandwich shop and a Blockbuster and a Taco John's, and that's it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know where they got this cake. It must have been someone they know.
TLC. Or it was a TLC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. Amazing cake. And his parents, what do they get him? And this was another really corny scene they set up. They have him, and he's ripping open this big box. And what is it but the Kirby Santatronic 50, his white whale. And he's like, yes! As if it was a PS5. I mean, literally.
I'm going to ask the same question. Did he piss his pants?
Probably.
Okay. All right.
Unclear.
And that was his 14th birthday, did you say?
14.
Ouch.
He is the most self-aware about his obsession. Because at the end, he's like, yeah, you know, I get made fun of every day. But guess what? Those bullies are going to be working for me someday.
Oh, cocky, are you?
Huh. I was like, all right, with your...
That's what a bully loves. Getting cocky. Look, like, if he teams up with Shelby's dad, no, it's not Shelby's, Reese's dad, Bill Gates, who knows? Magic stuff could happen. You don't know what's going to happen in northwestern Iowa.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff can happen.
He's going to have a vacuum repair empire, you know? So that's Logan.
How many more do we have, Kate?
Just one. And this one's quick because this one was not much.
Okay.
So this is Will Spike Yoakum and Katie Yoakum, a brother-sister duo from Carterville, Illinois. This was all in the Midwest, I found very interesting.
I noticed that as well.
Small town Midwest.
I didn't want to say anything, Kate. I didn't want to say anything. But yeah, it's all in the Midwest. Yeah.
So Will, but he goes by Spike. Okay. Spike.
Stop. Stop. He goes by Spike.
Yes, he does. You know, like the dog in Rugrats. So Spike
Rugrats. Just wanted to say I loved Rugrats. Go ahead.
This is so good. Spike is 12 years old. Katie is 9 years old. Their big goal is they want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest collection of fishing lures.
Just repeat that. I don't. Someone may have missed that. What was the thing they want to be in the Guinness Book of Records for? The biggest collection of
fishing lures, and to get this record, they all have to be completely different. There can be no repeats. No repeats of lures. Katie's a little different though because she doesn't care how many are in her collection. They just have to be pink.
Because she's a girl and girls love pink.
Yeah.
God, Katie.
Oh yeah. Small town Midwest, gender normative. Okay, so he has over 3,500 lures. Their entire garage is full of cases of lures, and this family put an addition on their house to house the lures. Okay.
All those dramatic pauses were necessary because I needed that to sink into everyone that's listening. I remember being obsessed with trolls. I grew up in the 90s. Trolls, I loved them. Had a load of them. And you know where they were? They were shoved in a cabinet next to my bed. I can't see an argument for these parents to say this is healthy for my child and for us to go to these lengths. But you know what? It's all very telling. Stuff is kind of adding up here for me, Kate, because as we know, I skimmed everything. But as you are really breaking it down, because Kate is the journalist we need in our lives. They're all the Midwest, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every single one of these parents, once again, they all look alike. Genuinely, they all look exactly the same. They all have exactly the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And their entire lives are their children. The parents hate each other. I just want to just throw this out there. The parents hate each other. The mother and the father have no personality or existence outside of their own children. And that's it. So this is why this is happening. So if you're listening to this going, but I'm sorry, my parents would have said, no, I'm not going to do that for you. Or let's look at other interests. Or let's figure out why you want to do this. No, 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 no.
They're passive.
The parents just give up everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a life. I don't have a personality. Who I am now is someone's mum. Yep. And yep. This is the result, everyone. This is the result.
We're going to spend thousands of dollars to expand our house to put boxes of fishing lures. Okay. So
By the way, I would also like to just add, we're recording right now. It's 9:30. It's 9:30 and I'm drinking a Red Bull. So I moved on from my Mezcal margarita and I happen to have an early 2000s sugar-free Red Bull.
Love it. Okay, you're going to be up all night.
You know what's going to happen? I can drink this. I could drink a pot of coffee, go to sleep straight away. Doesn't affect me.
Wow.
Anyway, but I needed it for this. I needed it for this. So carry on. They have the lures. They have the extension belt.
And they're big. I will be posting this on our social media, so look out for this.
Yes.
Because I took a video on my phone. I'm like, I need to rewatch this over and over.
Good. Good.
Because their big scene, their holding the fan in the tree thing, is they pop up in the garage door comes up, and they both kind of pop up and cross their arms and hold the position. And he's like, I'm Spike, and I have 3,500 fishing lures. And she's like, and then she crosses her arms, and she's like, I'm Katie, and I don't have that many, but mine are all pink. And then they do an individual interview with them, and they have them do this thing where they're turned away from camera, and then they turn towards camera and start talking. And
I just,
it's so funny.
$80,000. Someone got in debt. $80,000 to be able to at film school to be able to produce this for you, TLC. Be grateful.
If they need money, if they need help paying back their loans, guess what? Spike's collection is worth $12,000.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, if his parents don't make him sell that to put in a college fund, I'm done.
And lures, just to be, it's stuff that you, I mean, I don't know, my dad was a big fisherman, but a lure is something that you put at the end of your rod to that's shiny to or fish. Something to yep. catch a fish mm-hmm. that comes
with
in.
With a hook on it, yep.
To kill. And once again, killing animals. See right. a theme here? See a theme? TLC. $12,000, and I saw that they were also signed by people mm-hmm. as well. They were signed by fishermen and fisherwomen. And
right.
And then the grandmother started crying. Do you want to talk about why she was crying? I just, you
this
know,
part made me sad.
I just want to, you know, once again, Kate and I, just to emphasize, Kate and I are not parents. However, we are
opinionated
experts when it comes to parenting. We are the experts. You always are when you don't have kids.
Right.
So Kate and I are experts. And I just want everyone to know, perhaps you're pregnant listening to this and deciding to let your unborn fetus listen to some great observational notes from a TLC show. I just want everyone to realize you have kids and you don't have to then give up your personality, your identity, and your entire life. I just want everyone to be aware of that. I have many friends that have children and are amazing parents, and they have a life and they have a personality. Everyone in this show gave their entire identity up to either have a basement or to just give in to these children because there's nothing left of them. And that's why I couldn't see any of these people's faces, because there wasn't anything left.
There's nothing left. And also, Pauline, these towns are so boring. That's the other thing that I think you're forgetting is
yeah.
there's nothing to do. And I can talk shit about this because I'm from a town of 3,000 people, okay? That's like right by this these towns. And there's nothing to do. Nothing to do. God. So everyone hears, oh, this kid's got a fuck ton of lures. It's like big news. Everyone's like, oh my God, the Guinness Book of World Records guy is going to come to Carterville, Illinois. And so they're all rallying around it because they don't have shit else to talk about. Like, oh, the weather, the Friday night football game. So-and-so got a DUI. Like, what are we talking about?
It's making me nauseous, Kate. Please stop.
Okay.
And it's not just the sugar-free Red Bull. It's all just making me nauseous.
It's not the mezcal.
It's not the mezcal margarita and sugar-free Red Bull from the early 2000s. No, it's these people's lives. It's making me nauseous.
It's making me nauseous. I don't know what that was, but... Okay, so Grandma and Grandpa come over. Grandma spends God knows how long going through all the cases and counting every single lure. I mean, she must have been doing that for hours. She's counting. And then her and Grandpa come up to the cameras. They're talking to the producers. And they're like, so, Joyce, or whatever her name was, how many lures were there? And she's like, I counted 3,500.
she just loses it.
And then the grandpa turns towards her and he's like, 3563. He helps her out. And I just hope I'm right, because I just want him to get the record.
She was crying.
crying
over this. And by the way, I also love that all of these grandparents are like, they all look decrepit and old, as depicted so well by Kate right there. They're probably in their 60s because everyone has kids at like 20. And so they're probably in like their 60s. And I look at them and I'm thinking, okay. That's what we've chosen. That's what we've chosen for our life. Okay.
Crispy, crunchy, dry white people who have never worn sunscreen in their life. So.
She's crying. And crying over lures. Crying over fishing lures.
And, you know, I don't want to be totally heartless. She knows this means so much to her grandson. And she's touched by the fact that he's getting this recognition for his big hobby. So the big finale to this whole show, to this segment,
please,
and the show.
Please get us there. Please get us there.
You look over. They show this guy in a suit. And he's pulling up in his semi-nice car. And he steps out and it's like, duh, 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 duh. You know, it's like, who's this guy pulling up into our town? And he kind of waltzes up and it's like this big ordeal. And then the music cuts out and he's like, hi, I'm here to count your lures. And so then he goes around and counts all the lures. And then it's this big dramatic thing. And he's like, you made it into the book. And the kid's like, yay!
So, and then suddenly you see that. All the press from the town invade the house, and it's all like old timey press with like the hats on.
No, we're from the Carterville Gazette. How many lures did you say you had, kid?
Give us a statement. Give us some words.
No on, repeats, kiddo. You say? No repeats, huh? All pink. Why pink? Tell us, why pink? Because I'm a girl and I like Barbies.
Gosh darn it, you'll make a great wife one day. Don't know what that was. Anyway, so suddenly went south.
All right, let's rate this.
Let's just get, please, we spent way too long on this.
We did. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for sticking through us with this. I understand that it can be torturous just to listen to my voice alone, but let alone go through us trying to talk about cockroaches, vacuum cleaners, fishing lures, and fans. All right, okay, once again, out of £600 of learning, I am giving it £100 of learning, and I'm giving it as high as £100 of learning because I'm giving it £100 of learning slash warning. If you're gonna go to film school, you're gonna be in debt for $80,000, make sure that if you end up on a TLC show, give it some razzmatazz. Give it something, because these guys tried.
You can always put some effort in, no matter what, where you find yourself, what you're working on. Show them what you got. Show them what you got.
That training.
Yep. I gave it 103. I'm right by you. 103.
Oh,
little
okay.
Three. Because it just, I had a fun time just seeing my hometown, basically.
I mean, you were taken on a ride. You had your hometown, and then you also had memories of a long-lost love affair.
Study abroad. Yeah, it was...
It was quite
it
a
was
lot
a journey.
For you this week.
It was a
it
journey.
It was quite a lot. Are you doing okay, Kate?
I'm emotionally exhausted.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, just watching anything from TLC, you do come across depleted, at least, I would say. You definitely come across about depleted.
If I have a kid ever, I will support their love for something at the enthusiast level. Enthusiast. You can have a bug book.
I think what I learn about kids is not for me. All right, so moving on.
No.
Just no.
No.
All right. So that's it. We've covered the two shows. So obviously this is the time, Kate, where we're moving on to our Wheel of Shame. For anyone that doesn't or is just new to the poddy, I deeply appreciate you. We deeply appreciate you. Go back and listen to all of our episodes. But what we do at this point, once we've discussed our two shows in an episode, we go to our Wheel of Shame. Our Wheel of Shame randomly selects the two shows that we are going to cover for the next week's episode. So you have a week in between episodes, which means you have the time to go and listen to watch all of these shows along with us. So when you come back and join us the following week, you know the shit that we are talking. All right, Kate. So We're going to spin this wheel. Listen, all I'm going to say again is I'm going to keep harking on until it comes true. I've spoken about Darcy a lot. Speaking about her a lot, just in general in my life, which is natural. And then also this episode. So I'm going to spin this wheel. You ready to spin?
Spin it, baby.
Okay, so let's see what we get. I'm hoping it's another fresh. I like that we had two we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. So okay, it's finishing up. We are at... Okay. So the first one we are going to... first show we're going to review next week is Seven Little Johnsons.
All right.
Seven Little Johnsons. Okay. I'm familiar with this. I have not really watched it, but I am familiar.
I've heard of it.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, TLC has to put the little in it. But Kate, have you written that down? Because I won't remember this.
Yep, I wrote it down.
Because I have had some mezcal. All right. So moving on to our next show. Let's go on. Okay, so we've got Seven Little Johnsons, and the next one is...
Darcy.
Just do it, please do it. Oh. Oh, this is Filth Fighter.
What?
Filth Fighter. I would like to say they're going to go to the deep downtown scummy areas of Los Angeles and major cities and clear up their porn, but it's not. It's going to be about people that are living in scum, and then cleaners probably coming in and cleaning everything up.
They're going to go to Shelby's bedroom.
See, it all fits together, guys. Yeah. It all fits together. Okay, so it's Filth Fighter. Kate, I haven't seen... Well, I probably have seen a little bit of the Seven Little Johnsons, I think. But Filth Fighter... We've got to be aware we cannot watch that anytime near food, because I think it's going to be gross. And I also think it's going to be deeply depressing. So yeah, buckle up, buckaroos, next week.
Strap in, baby.
Okay, so as we end the episode, we definitely want to do a little pluggity plug, plug, plug. God.
Pluggity plug, plug, plug.
Okay, so we've got to plug our social media. Please, if you have not already, go on and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Tender Loving Care Pod. We're also on Twitter at TLC Poddy. It'd be awesome if you can go and give us a like, follow along. It'd be wonderful. We'd love to hear from all of you. We also have something that we want to involve all of you guys in. Our email address is tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. And what we're looking for really is, Kate, I think it's best described as agents in the field. Mm-hmm. So what we've decided is, you know, we are reviewing all of these TLC shows as viewers. We want to reach out to this amazing community of all these people that are listening to say to you, if you were someone that in any way was involved in a TLC show, whatever show, like I say, there's hundreds of them. If you were perhaps in the crew, if you were one of the long-suffering PAs that constantly get dragged into scenes and are paid piss poor, if you were involved in casting, if you were on a TLC show, like in any capacity, because there are so many. Kate and I kind of had a discussion about there has got to be someone out there that wants to give their scoop. We would love for you to email us completely anonymously, and we would love to be able to have your experience of being any way involved with TLC, and we would retell your story on the podcast each week. We're going to have a new segment. We're going to talk about agents in the field. So anyone that any one of you agents in the field that have any periphery or involvement in TLC shows and can give us some goss, some scoops, some
how does it all work behind the scenes, anything.
Yeah. Anything like that. We would love to assign you one of our agents, and we would love to retell your story. So please, that's tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. It would be fantastic. We'd love to hear from you. You can also DM us on Instagram as well, if that's easier. Kate, let's talk about your other poddy, please.
I find time to watch a lot of TV. I have another podcast called Mostly Bravo. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. And I... Hello? Okay. Yeah, and you can find us on social media at Mostly Bravo on Instagram and TikTok.
perfect. I also want to give a shout out to my overwhelming love for all junk TV, especially Bravo and The Real Housewives, where Kate and I fell in love. Mm-hmm. I have created an original line of merchandise, including notebooks and a ton of other stuff, featuring all of our beautiful ladies from The Real Housewives franchises. As a true aficionado of the gals, I have a ton of not just their sayings, but things that really hark to great scenes in the housewife genre. So please feel free to check me out. My Instagram is abritinthesun, B-R-I-T-I-N, the sun. You can find me on Instagram at that name or Etsy. So please go ahead and check that out. Anything else, Kitty Kate?
No, can we go? I have to go vacuum my
roaches. I mean, there's a lot.
And turn off my, and I have to turn off my fans.
And I have to go and check my basement. so we have a lot to do. I can't believe that we actually made an episode of this length over, that shit show of, stuff that we had this week, because they sounded great, but the quality, I mean, they didn't get a lot of pounds of learning. There was not a lot of pounds of learning this week.
No. Lots to address, though. So
that's how it goes sometimes. All right, love. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We deeply appreciate it. Please tell friends about the poddy. Email us, DM us, follow us, all of that good stuff. And have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.